something I had failed to pass on to Dan for announcements. I just wanted to mention, I know this, we got so many other things going right now, but if you're interested in being part of the small group ministry in the new year, please, there are at least two groups mentioned on list, and if you'd like to sign on one or the other for those groups, that would be great. And then that will give us opportunity to kind of see how many and where and all of that. So please do that if you can remember. And also, there's a possibility that we might have on New Year's evening, an activity. But we wanted to see if there was interest in that. We know a lot of people have their own activities, and that's fine. There's no pressure. But if you're interested in a New Year's Eve activity, which would be a Saturday evening, contact Dick Dombrowski, and then we'll go with it. Dick is our major planner, and just as yesterday. So we want to also, it reminds me, we're so thankful for everybody. And Dick and Doreen were a very big part of yesterday evening on that meal. And there were so many other people. I pulled up here, and all the cars were here, and everybody was already getting ready for that. And so did my heart good just to see all of the people involved in that. So thank you very, very much. It was a wonderful evening and a wonderful meal. I hate to, well, maybe I don't. That may not be true. I didn't want to embarrass Josh Andrews, but I just have. So, but I wanted to say this. Josh told me just a moment ago, he just finished his test and got his commercial pilot's license. And and so he won't kill me. I won't have him stand up. But I think that is so amazing and so wonderful. And I know he's worked very, very hard. And so our congratulations. We thank the Lord, and we're proud of you. We're proud of you. And he's also growing in the Lord, and that does my heart even more than the pilot's license. But if he's driving your plane and you're going somewhere, just think he's a Christian, so we all go up, okay? Okay. So anyway, let's just ask God to help us. God, we need help. We thank you for this wonderful season. It's truly wonderful because we have a Savior who has come. And we needed a Savior desperately, and we thank you the Lord Jesus is that one. And so, Father, we thank you we can all be together. We can enjoy just being together. But more importantly, we're together because of Jesus Christ. And so we want to honor him. We want to please him. And we want to grow in him. So may our time together really be to that end. And so we entrust ourselves to you by your Spirit to accomplish your pleasure in our lives. In Christ's name. Amen. Christmas is a season for plays, and so I thought this morning we'll have a play. Now I know there's going to be a better play later on today, right? I understand that, but anyway, just work with me. In our play, we have good guys. You have to have good guys, right? And in those are the Magi dudes. Okay, the good guys. Now. The Magi's, and we'll talk more about the Magi's. We last night we had a demonstration of three wise Magi's, and they were really cool looking. But they were so cool looking they would not identify themselves. But anyway, it was fun. If you missed that, they'll do it again sometime. But we have the good guys, the Magi's, and then we have the villain. You have to have a bad dude and this is a bad dude. The villain, and he is the king. He is Herod the king. Okay? He's a bad dude. And then we got a little king. We got a little king. And of course that's Jesus Christ. Now, in our story, which the wonderful part is, we're having a play about a true story. That's the big deal. Let's go to Matthew 2. And we look at this story, a true story that we have acted out. Now, if we were going to put a title to our play, as you're turning to Matthew chapter 2, we could title it Worship the Newborn King. Worship the Little King. Matthew 2, And I want to just begin reading the story, the first two verses, to set the stage for the desire to worship. Now after Jesus, Matthew 2, 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." This desire to worship. You know, in the Christmas season, I'm sure there's lots of reasons people go to church. Now, you know, church used to be more common. A lot of people don't even go to church on Christmas anymore, but thankfully you're here. Now, one reason, the Magi, the good guys, came. Why do they come? They come to worship. I hope we're here to worship the newborn king. In this story, there's this desire. Now, how far would you go to worship the newborn king? How far would you go? You know, like this morning, someone was telling me their wipers went wacky because of the ice. You could say, well, you know, it's too much ice, too much snow. We can't go, right? A lot of people just don't have much desire. But the Magi, they knew what was really the big deal. They knew what the big deal was. And we're come together this morning for the big deal, for worshiping the king. It's the days Jesus was born. Now, this is after the birth, and he was born in Bethlehem. And we know that story. It's a wonderful part of it, this little town. And the Magi arrive from the east. Now, of course, in this story, the bad dude, the genuine villain, the first real ultimate Scrooge of Christmas was Herod the king. The days of Herod the king. Herod ruled as a king. He had a bigger ego than he had landmass, but he ruled as a king. He was a cruel man, and we'll talk a little more about that. And he ruled from Jerusalem. And of course, Bethlehem was only 5 miles to the south, so it was a short distance. And the Magi, as one puts it, were experts in the study of the stars. They studied the stars. Contrary to the song, "We Three Kings," they were not kings. But they came with gifts worthy of a king. There was probably, now I was thinking, notice what it says, the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. Now this must have been an interesting thing. They came. There's possibly, you know, we say we really don't know. There were three. They have three gifts. So we kind of think, well, maybe there were three kings or three Magi. But there was probably a larger group. At least there were servants and helpers, and I was thinking, here are these guys, and they come from the east. Now they possibly came from Babylon. That's a possibility. Now I have to do this. I'm not sure why, but anyway, to keep you awake. That's probably okay. Now, this is it. I want to, isn't that kind of cool? Okay, now let's see. You have to work with me here. I'm a Magi, okay? I'm a Magi. Now, actually, my son bought this in the East, in South Korea, actually, years and years ago. Don't you think we ought to start having robes for services, right? You know, anyway, now, you say, what are you doing? Have you had a nervous breakdown over the night? Anyway, when the Magi came, they came from far away. They came from the east, probably Babylon, possibly. And they stood out. We're going to read in just a little bit. They stood out. I mean, these guys probably, I mean, they obviously had some money because of the gifts they brought. They were probably driving like BMW camels or something, right? And they looked different. They looked different. They were different. And everybody knew they were there. And everybody was thinking, who are these guys? Well, remember, they had a clue a lot of people in Israel didn't have. They came for the right reason. They came to worship the king. Now you say, now how are the guys in Babylon, they're not Jewish guys, how did they know anything about? How did they know anything about the king? Well, remember the Jewish people, Israel, had been deported to Babylon. In the Old Testament, we think the Jewish people have been deported to Babylon. Among them, Daniel. And Daniel was promoted. Remember, he was promoted into the rulership, into the realm of rulership in Babylon. And he knew Old Testament truth. He wrote some of it. And so he comes, and some of these people perhaps were listening. They were paying attention. You know, isn't it interesting in our culture, people are not paying attention? But they were paying attention. These individuals, they had, now whether it came from Daniel or it came from somebody else, they show up in this land to worship the king. It's interesting, there's a statement. It's a statement they may have read that caught their interest. I mean, they were students of the stars. And there's a statement in Numbers 24:17. It reads this way. Numbers 24:17. And it reads this. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter will rise from Israel. One writes, the prophecy concerning the star contained in this passage would associate this astrological occurrence with the birth of the Messiah. You see, they were paying attention. They were thinking, God, in whatever means, and we don't know obviously exactly, but whatever means, God had made aware to them something amazing was going to happen. And it was connected to their study of stars. They came to Jerusalem, the capital. And of course, if you're looking for a Jewish Messiah, you ought to go to the capital. That makes sense. And notice, we read these words in verse 2. Where is he? This is the question they ask. You know, again, they have their fancy clothes on. They come in. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now, they've come to Herod, who wanted to call himself a king, which in a measure he was. He called himself Herod the Great. They came. The king, they came and arrived. Where is he? This is the question they ask Herod. And then they ask this question, who has been born? And this stopped Herod in his tracks. Where is he? King of the Jews. Whoa! Herod's thinking, what do you mean, king of the Jews? I'm the king. I'm number one. I'm the head of the pack. Now, this got Herod all uptight, and he was already tight. Now, of course, you see here, the baby had already been born. This is after the birth, but it's not that long after the birth. Actually, at this point, he's not in a stable. He's in a house. If we were to read down to verse 11, coming into the house, if Joseph's a good husband and doesn't want to get in trouble, and as a good daddy, he doesn't leave Mary in the stable, right? I mean, that we get born in the stable, but we got to find a house. We got to rent something. And so, where is this baby? This king? And Herod is all choked up. Herod was a sick dude. He was paranoid. Herod was so paranoid and bitter. This is toward the end of his life. So paranoid and bitter. He had killed his wife out of paranoia. And he had executed two of his sons so he could beat the king and they wouldn't challenge it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a man that sick? And he hears, this paranoid dude hears, King of the Jews! The Magi ask, where is he? Well, Herod, he wants to know. Notice what it says. The King of the Jews, for we saw his star. Did you notice that? His star. Herod probably thought, where's my star? We saw his star. We saw his star in verse 2 in the east and have come to worship him. Have come to worship him. They knew a king was going to be born. Now, in the Old Testament of Jeremiah 23:5, it says, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king. And God, in some measure, maybe through Old Testament scrolls or through predictions, prophetic statements, they knew that a king was going to be born. A king. The king. And the Magi isn't, you know, they were willing to do more than just get in the car and drive through the snow to go to church. They were willing to cross country and miles to get to see the newborn king. And why did they come? To see a sideshow? No. They came to worship. That word has the idea to bow down. To bow down at the feet. To bow down at the feet. They came to worship, to adore, and bow down to the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the one who will reign in the millennial kingdom and it will go into the eternal state, the King of Kings. They saw his star and they came to bow down and worship. The idea of worship is to recognize worth and respond appropriately. How many people have missed the worth of the baby in the manger? They have missed the value of the baby. In fact, many in our culture today want to erase the baby. No, don't tell us about a manger. Don't tell us about a baby. Let's have Xmas, but let's don't have Christmas. The Magi were way, way ahead of the game. And notice, when they came to worship, that idea assumes that he was the divine king. Remember when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus and he said, bow down and worship me. And the Lord Jesus says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only. You see, only the divine king should be worshipped. And in our culture, how we end up worshipping the frivolous, the fickle, the inadequate, the fading. Ourselves at times, we worship the things that make no difference at all. We are to come to worship the divine King. He alone is worthy of our worship, our adoration, our attention, our love, our service. They saw the sign of the star and came to worship the king who owned that star. Now, as we said, we have the good guys, the magi, the ones that really got it. And now we come to the villain. As we've said, Herod was a self-centered, paranoid disaster. His power had become what he worshipped. Out of his brutality, not only to his own family, but to many others, he was feared and hated. But notice what it says. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Well, he was already troubled, but now he's really troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Isn't that interesting? All Jerusalem. Well, don't you imagine they were concerned when Herod was troubled, everybody else was in trouble? Don't you imagine? What will he do? What will this madman do? All of Jerusalem. I mean, these guys come. They're on their BMW camels. I mean, they stand out. They've got servants. They've got gifts. They've got all this stuff. And everybody pays attention. They're not. Isn't it amazing? The people in Jerusalem aren't paying attention. They're not looking for the king. And these strangers from far away, they get it. And they come. And Herod is troubled. And notice what he does. Verse 4, gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. He checked this out. Okay, bring in all the dudes, all the, the PhDs, bring everybody in. Okay, all you guys who know the Old Testament, where is this Messiah supposed to be born? And of course, they know, it's amazing to me, they know the prophecy in Micah. It's not so much amazing they knew the prophecy, it's amazing they didn't seem to respond to the prophecy. But notice, they have the head information. Verse 5, they said to him in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet in Micah. And in verse 6, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They had it up here, but it didn't seem to touch their heart. But they knew where the king was to be born. And so after Herod gathers this information, We then read on, pay attention to what verse 7. Then Herod secretly, isn't that interesting? He doesn't want to let out what his real intent is. Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from the exact time the star appeared. And why does he want to know the exact time? Well, it's very possible that the baby was born when they saw the star. Or at least in that location of time, he's trying to figure out how old is this kid? How old is this baby? And then, in verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem. Say, go! You can imagine. Oh, go and search carefully for the child. The cunning king, and when you have found him, report back to me. Let me know, so that I too may come and worship him. Lies written all over that. Herod didn't want to worship the king. He wanted to stuff him out. He wanted to kill the kid. If you read down, and this is getting ahead of our story, but if you look down to verse 13 of Matthew 2, we read these words. Now when they had gone, the Magi, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee. Get out of here. Flee to Egypt." Why? "And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." To take him out. What a sad, what an evil king. You know, of course, we have Herods all over the place in our day. I just noticed this morning on my computer, a little three-year-old boy was going, I think it was a boy, going with his grandmother to the mall for Christmas. And some dude, some evil dude, was upset because grandma didn't leave the light fast enough. He got out his gun and started shooting in rage, killed the little boy. We have Herods all over the place. We have those who are deceived. Those who are deceived who don't think they need a Savior. Who don't think they need the King to come to die on the cross for their sin. The heart of man is not changed. You know, we can point our bony finger at Herod, but if we reject the child, we reject the king, we're in as big a mess as he was, spiritually, eternally. Don't be deceived. You know, there are people that will go to Christmas, to a Christmas service, who really just go because of the tradition, not because they've received the salvation. They think it's cute. And, you know, it's fun. But we have far bigger things than celebration of a tree or eating food, which I really enjoyed last night. But we have a lot more than that. We have a king. We have a king. May we not be deceived. May we not reject the king. Notice the delight in verse 9 of Matthew 2. And after hearing the king, the Magi, they went their way, and the star which had been in the east went up before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. This is a supernatural star. But this star, it appeared again. It directed them again. And it directed them to the child so they could come and delight in worship of the newborn. The star appeared and led them, pointed out the specific place. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Great joy. When's the last time you had great joy? We have in our downstairs kind of throw stuff in this closet, you know. Hopefully it will evaporate someday. But anyway, I went down there yesterday, and over time, all our little granddaughter. She's been wanting to keep blowing up these balloons. And I went in there and we got all these balloons in there, you know. And I'm thinking, I can't even get what I need because we got so many, you know, balloons. I'm hoping the air would leak out of them so that I can throw them away, right? You know, I was thinking, though, how much is it like a balloon, our enthusiasm and excitement and joy in the Lord? Do you find that? We go through life, you know, oh, it's another Christmas time. I know about, you know, finding those gifts. I mean, it's a tad bit stressful. I understand that, right? And you're finding gifts, you know, think, you know, and you ate too much already, and then, you know, you got to get the tree decorated, company's coming, right? And all the time our balloon of joy is kind of, right? It's kind of, we're losing air. The Magi didn't lose air. They didn't lose excitement. They saw the star and they knew what it meant, and they were exceedingly, exceedingly joyful. Great joy. Great joy. You know, maybe we need to put some more air back in the balloon. Maybe we need to regain our joy. Why? Because of who has come. The Savior. You know, there's reason for joy. I was thinking of, notice in Matthew, if you're at 2, I want to go back to chapter 1. Notice verse 21. She will bear a son. Talking about Mary. She'll bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Are you struggling with your sin? All of sin? Nope, no one here. Exempt. All of sin come short of the glory of God. All of us. That is, when you think real logically, when you have a clear mind, you realize what sin does, we all come short. We come short. We come short of God's glory. All of sin. And then the really scary, scary part is that the wages of sin is death. It's death. And that just doesn't mean, I mean, obviously, our physical world where we physically die, that's a result of sin. But sin also causes spiritual death, which is spiritual separation from God forever if we don't get that thing resolved. That's why the child had to come. That's why we needed a Savior. That's why they were exceedingly excited. The Savior has come. We are desperate. We are in a mess. Sin has destroyed us and continues to destroy us, and it will eternally destroy us if we don't have a Savior. The Lord Jesus came, taking on humanity. That's why he became such a little baby. He had to have humanity to go to the cross. He was God and man in one, and he went to the cross. The cradle to the cross to pay for our sin. But you know what? Isn't it amazing? Christ died even for Herod. Isn't that amazing? Christ died for you. But you can reject the King. You can reject the Savior. You can hold him. You can push him away. May we know the joy by receiving the Savior. That brings joy. When we know our eternity is safe and joyful. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. I was asking, let's show that up. Let's just sing the first two lines of Joy of the World. Now, you're looking a little bit like you ate too much last night. Let's stand up. We're going to sing first two lines, Joy of the World. I'm sorry, I didn't even tell these dear, those who are playing. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Thank you. You may be seated. Notice verse. Whoa. That's exceeding joy. All right, okay. Thank you for... Okay. Look at verse 11. We sing as we look at these wonderful words. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. They fell to the ground and worshiped him. Where's our heart? Obviously, you don't have to be on your knees. But where's our heart? Do we adore the King? Do we bow before him? And then we see the expression of their heart when they gave their gifts. After coming into the house and after bowing down, then opening their treasures. And then their treasures. What treasures do we have, right? They opened their treasures and presented to him. Notice to him, the little babe, presented to him. See, they got it. They got it. They presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Obviously, we all understand gold, right? We're all hoping we'll get a little more. And then you think, frankincense? It was a gummy substance from a tree. It had a very beautiful, pleasant smell. And myrrh. And perhaps the myrrh was a reminder that Jesus one day would be in his burial. They would use myrrh. You see, God knew from the beginning when he gave his son, this beautiful little boy, would one day go to the cross. You know, for God so loved the world, he gave his son. You know, for all of us who have children, and when you look at that little baby when they're first born, you bring them home from the hospital. Can you imagine thinking of someday seeing your baby die for the sins of others? Only a God, the Father, loving the world, could see a baby with nails in his hands. These wise men came, and they came with the very, very best that they had. They came with treasure. You see, if we really adore him, we will want to respond to him. Whether it's in giving, whether it's in serving, but we want to adore the one who is the little babe. He came as a king, even as a little one, and one day will reign forever as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you've never trusted him to be your Savior, it won't matter what treasure you bring to him. It's only how you respond to him in his gift of salvation. But for those of us who know him, may we renew our joy that comes from him. Say, Lord Jesus, I forget so easily all that you've done. I thank you so much for dying for me. I thank you so much that you're not only the King of Kings, but you're my Savior. Oh, come, let us adore him. We're going to sing that little chorus. Oh, come, let us adore him. And it's not the whole Christmas carol, just that little chorus. I think we have it there. We'll find it. Yeah. I tell you what we could do is bow, but we're not going to. Let's all stand, though, and reverently sing unto him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Right. God, we thank you for your precious Son that you sent. We thank you for the little king who one day will be seen to be the King of Kings. And this morning we pray that if there's anyone here who has never trusted the King to be their Savior, this will be the day so they can enter into the great joy. And Father, for those of us who know the King as our Savior, may we truly come and adore Him again and again and again because of who He is. The Magi had it right. May we get it right. In Jesus' precious name, amen.